Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, welcome back to Barton Means Business. This is our second week, and we are excited to be back. So, Dr. Russell, how goes it?
Yes, indeed. Oh, things are great. Glad to be back. And thank you for joining me again. We had such a good response from the first episode. So I'm looking forward to similar results this week, even better, honestly. We have lots to talk about. So glad to be here. Thanks, Becky.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me what has been going on this past week. Let's jump right into it.
Well, I can't start the week out without talking about what we did on Wednesday, which was our day of service. We have these things called Bulldog Days at Barton, and everybody gets involved. And there's nothing special as looking out across what I'm calling Barton Common, the center part of the campus, and seeing hundreds of students all gathering, getting ready to support the Wilson community for whatever purposes. Some were building beds, some were cleaning up cemeteries, some were washing windows, but whatever it was, they were helping out Barton and the community. So it's a day of service. They do it every year. And it was just really exciting to be there and be a part of that.
And for those of you on audio, you won't be able to see this, but we are putting some images of the day of service in the YouTube video. So we'll have a couple of those in there. And I will also throw in a picture of the so-called Barton Common. I don't know if you'll be able to make it happen, but we'll try.
Well, we'll see. But my story this week, my first story comes from that event. So I need to share my story of resilience. That's going to be our topic for at least this part of the show. What was really interesting, my group, about 60 or so students, were assigned to do pine straw. Well, when you have that many people, hundreds of people, sometimes things go awry, right? And we didn't have enough pine straw. We didn't have any pine straw as far as I could tell, but nonetheless, we didn't have the supplies to do pine straw. So our students had to find something else to do. So we started, reallocating some of the students to various projects, and that all went fine and good. But I ended up with, and this is the fun part, I ended up with the offensive line from the football team. And we said, well, what can we do? And our folks from the administration building said, hey, come make videos for us. Come make videos for Barton. And our students, the offensive line of the football team, said, yeah, we could do that. And what I was really impressed with was the resilience of this group of young men. And what was really, I guess I shouldn't have been, because this is what they do every Saturday. They play football, a play goes bad, they have to do something else. They have to, what's the term they use, figure it out in the pocket, light on their feet. If a play gets blown, they do something else. And I think that's exactly what happened. I was really delighted to see these young men just say, hey, you know what? We got you. We'll do this. So instead of spreading pine straw, as they had planned to do, they made some really wonderful videos.
Well, that's really great. I'll see if we can share the video of them making a video, because that was really cute.
A video about making a video.
Behind the scenes.
That was kind of cute. One of the young men was dancing, and I don't know what he was dancing to, but hey, he was happy. So it was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great. I'm glad that glad that went well. And I saw the tallies of the fundraising. It looks like the college had quite a few people donate, so that was good to see as well.
Every little bit helps. We're going to be having our own School of Business and Innovation fundraiser later on this semester, so be on the lookout for that. But thank you for that. It was a very successful Clash of the Bulldogs.
Well, good. So let's see what else is going on. We were going to talk a little bit more about the Business of series. So what's going on there?
Right. Well, if you remember the Business of series, we talked about creating an environment for professionals in the industry to talk about the business of whatever business they were in. Since we talked about having some industry specialist in meteorology, so we could talk about the business of weather, for example. But we've also talked about the business of sports. We've got some professionals from some of the major league sports teams out there are anxious to come talk to us about what's going on in the world of sports. So I'm excited about that one. And I'm also excited about the business of blockchain, the business of analytics, the business of science, the business of nanotech, so many things. So you'll be seeing some of these videos start to pop up. Now, will they all be available for public consumption? Not sure yet. I think ultimately they will. But what we're doing this for is to keep our students apprised of what's going on in the world of business in any particular industry or vertical.
That's great. That'll be really interesting and a lot of fun to have ready for the students. And kind of along that train of thought, you know, the business of these different topics, there's also going to be some certificates on some of the same subject matter, right?
That's true. Certificates are very popular right now with all schools, particularly as a way to advance continuing education, not just for our staff, our faculty, our students, but also for the community at large. We're starting to see requests for certificate programs in AI, for example. But for us, being a private liberal arts college, that means something different for us. We're all about having, you know, engaged critical thinkers, as we probably talked about before. And having a certificate for AI for someone like that is different than having an AI for someone who's a programmer or an engineer. But we're also thinking about certificates for cybersecurity for the C-suite. We've got something coming out really soon. Maybe next week we can talk about that a bit more. Also, certificates in pretty much anything you can imagine. But we're looking forward to a lot of fun certificates. And I think that if we kind of put the liberal arts college lens on some of these things, it's easier, for me at least, to show how we're different. I'll give an example. A lot of colleges and universities are doing certificates in like healthcare, for example. Well, that's a pretty generic topic, but if you kind of put the liberal arts lens onto it, that kind of means, well, what does that mean for us? So a healthcare advocacy kind of certificate or certificate in wellness, that sort of thing. It's a little bit focused on the person. And I think that's what's really interesting about what we'll be doing here at the Barton College School of Business and Innovation, particularly as we partner with our other schools within the college. So health sciences or the humanities, the arts and humanities and that sort of thing, social sciences. So we're very excited about the possibilities of doing some interdisciplinary certificates as well.
I look forward to digging into some of those topics a little more, like the advocacy angle and stuff like that, because I think that would be interesting to talk more about what that means.
You know, and that brings up the next topic. I'd love to talk to you about how other folks could get involved and help us put some of these together. We look forward to having communication with our alumni and various groups, people that are interested in the Wilson area, but even beyond. So I thought maybe what I would do is kind of go over this quick taxonomy or hierarchy I've been kind of working on. We are interested in finding some folks that are interested in being advisors and counselors for us, people that are in the industry or just interested in helping the School of Business and Innovation become what it can be. So if you're thinking about wanting to volunteer some time, please reach out to us at the college and also to the school. So that's the first level. The second level, though, is if you want to do something a bit more with the students and really help us in a different way, think about being a mentor or a coach with us at the School of Business and Innovation. It's a bit more time. It's a bit more of your talent, but I can guarantee you it'll be worth it to work with some of the projects we'll be working on here in the next several months. But if you're really interested in doing something truly amazing, let's talk about maybe being an innovator in residence. We're not going to have a lot of those, but I can already tell you that the folks that we've been talking to are going to be devoting more than just their time and their talent. They'll be devoting quite, much, much more. And we'll be able to talk about some of those in the coming weeks on this podcast.
I would say in addition to that, you know, speaking of volunteering, not just as a mentor or something like that, you know, businesses that want to involve the students in experiential learning, say with projects, we're going to be spinning up some things like that as well. So be thinking about how you could have business students be involved in projects in some way or another to do some small pieces of work or be an intern or things like that as well, because that's another way to be involved.
Absolutely. And I think you've really hit the nail on the head on this one, even more than internships or traditional internships. We talk about experiential learning. Our students are hungry for industry experience. But as we've talked about since our days at Cisco, it's all about connections. And making those connections real and meaningful is what we're trying to do with these programs and these projects, particularly at the mentor level and the advisor level, that sort of thing.
All right. So that connect. I know you create these mnemonics all the time, and I think you have one, a new one, that you want to share with us.
First, I'd like to say, for you purists out there, I use the term acronym, I use the term mnemonic, I use the term acrostic. It really depends on how you define such things. So let's just say it's a mnemonic, and we'll go from there. I typically will create something out of a common word that we use, so it'll help you remember. So tonight, we're going to talk about connect. So are you ready for this one, Becky?
Absolutely.
Okay. So earlier we talked about engaged critical thinkers. So for the past few weeks, it's been sitting in my head, ECT, ECT. And then I said, okay, connect. So let's build something about connect, because as we've said before, it's all about connections. And I think for our students, especially, if they want to have a really great experiential learning opportunity with our alum or with our community or with the industry at large, it all starts with that connection. And this is where our volunteers can really help us in that regard. So it's about the challenge. It's about the opportunity. It's about how you network, how you navigate that network. Then you can become that engaged critical thinker. Connect. But here's where it gets interesting. We say it's all about connections, right? So let's just say connection. Let's build it out a little bit further. I, innovating. O, observing. N, noticing. Being curious, right? So let's do that again. Challenge, opportunity, navigate, network, engage, critical thinker, by innovating, observing, and noticing. There you go. Connection.
That's great. Love it.
Enjoy. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. It just comes to me, and we'll put it probably in the next book or something, but at least we have that now.
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of ties into, you know, once they've done things like that and they become what you've been talking about, a valued voice. We talked about that a little bit last week. So maybe you want to talk a little bit more. I think you wanted to dig into that.
It's very similar to the Business Of series, right? In format, yes. We'll probably have interviews with individuals, 12 to 17 minute, that we'll curate and we'll publish on our internal servers for now, maybe take it public later. But the difference in the valued voices, stories of innovation, is that they'll be focused on folks with a connection to Barton College. So that can be an alum, that could be someone who lives in the city of Wilson, in the area, anywhere in Eastern North Carolina. Some sort of connection is what we're looking for. What I'm also considering is that it may not be you or me talking to them. It might be some of my faculty. And I really am interested about getting their questions and their participation in some of these conversations. It's pretty exciting, I think, because as I mentioned last week, I try to talk to an alum every single week. And as I talk to these folks, they really do want to tell their story and tell their experience at Barton, how they became who they are, how they were shaped at Barton College. And I'm excited to share that story with all you folks as well. So valued voices, stories of innovation coming soon.
All right, that's great. So more stories of students and things like that. Let's talk a little bit about FBLA. So that right. is, for those of you who have never been in that club in, let's say, high school or anything like that, it's Future Business Leaders of America. And there's actually, it goes on into college, university, which I did not know when I was a student in high school.
Weren't you in FBLA when you were in high school?
I was.
I was from a large urban school. And we didn't have that at my school, believe it or not. And it wasn't a thing for us, but for you, it was sort of like the big thing in town, right?
We had our honors group, which was Beta Club. And then when we got a business teacher, we had FBLA. And yeah, we enjoyed that a lot. We went to competitions and stuff, and it was really cool.
What I love about FBLA Collegiate, which is what you're talking about, FBLA Collegiate, it's a continuation of what students learn in their high school and even middle school years about how to present appropriately, how to appear appropriately. Some of our students don't get the opportunity to present to a group, and FBLA kind of makes that happen. They even have competitions for such things, and regional competitions, national competitions, that sort of thing. But what I love about it, it gives our students an opportunity to talk about business in terms that they may not have been associated with just coming up through high school. And at the college level, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit more focused on outcomes. It's a little bit more focused on entrepreneurship. It's a little bit more focused on what does it really take to be a business person. So we're excited about that. We're getting ready to start up some this coming week. We should talk about this next week, but this coming week, we've got some career tables and things like that that we're doing with some folks here at Barton College. And we're excited to highlight the FBLA club that we have here at Barton College.
Oh, that's great.
I'd also like to talk to you about our consortia that we started at this week. The first one was the Data Analytics Consortium, and the second was the Neurodata Analytics Consortium. Now, I guess they sound very similar, but very, very different. Our Data Analytics Consortium is focused most on all things data. We talk about all things data, and this week was great because we were able to kind of reconnect after so many months of being away, and we have professionals from all over the country join us and talk. And as you can imagine, the item for discussion was AI and what we're doing with AI. And you have a clip of Andrew Son, who is a colleague from Atlanta, talking about that.
We're getting people who are good with AI and who know the basics of AI. But as you guys probably read the studies recently, and I can attest to this in real life, is that, you know, 90%+ of AI projects are failures at this point. Yep. And so I think it's valuable to focus on not just the mechanics of AI, but the whole, you know, the whole system of how to make projects, AI implementations successful in the context that they're supposed to be successful. And that's what the business really is. It's not just the mechanics, it's producing results with AI, with data science.
But the second one was really interesting as well. It was the Neurodata Analytic Consortium. And we had a special guest. We had Lisa Richard talk to us about this idea of how to self-regulate and how to be aware if you're stressed, if you're overwhelmed, how can you use a certain tool to self-regulate? And she led us through a really interesting model for that. So those are the kind of things that really excite me about these programs.
What was really interesting about the Neurodata one in particular was we discovered that we had a lot more in common than we realized, even from having talked for several months during the last time we all got together. You always discover something new about people each time you talk. And so we wound up reintroducing ourselves and we found even more things in common than we thought we had last time. So that was really neat about that. And it was fun.
I think this group has the potential of being something unique across the country. I think a lot of folks, in fact, talk a lot about data. And that's again, as much as we love data and have been involved with it all of our careers, this idea of focusing on neurodata and also scratching at the historically difficult to quantify, I think that's what's amazing. Some of the tools that are emerging here, Becky, are just nothing short of amazing. Things that can read your electroencephalograph, things that can read your eye movement and determine, you know, are you ready to learn? Are you ready to accept new information? Or are you just so overwhelmed and stressed that maybe you just need to take a break? I think for educators, I think it's very important to know when your students are either ready or not ready. And I think we have a really great opportunity with the Neurodata Analytics Consortium to scratch at those items and really look at what is possible in the coming years.
I think the potential for helping people, helping students, but, you know, neurodiverse folks in particular is just, you know, there's no limit to it. So I'm really excited to see what more comes out of that.
You know, in the coming weeks, I think we'll have more to share with regard to neurodiverse students, particularly as they have emerged from the post-pandemic and are coming to us as freshmen, sophomores, transfers, and they need a little bit more attention. And I think that we just need to be ready as educators to be ready to handle different kinds of populations. And I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also looking for differences in homeschool students and transfer students who are coming from a larger university, for example, coming into a smaller community that is Barton College. So I think if we have the tools to support that are new and leading edge, I think that's going to be a great opportunity for those students to succeed in ways that we can't even fathom right now.
All right. Anything else coming up in the next week besides the FBLA stuff?
Right. We have lots going on at Barton every week. So I'm excited to talk about some of the things that are coming up. We'll talk about this next week, of course, in our recap, but we're going to have a chance for me to visit some more classes. So I'm excited about that, particularly as I visit the Business 101 class. That's always a favorite for me because that's usually the student's first experience with the School of Business and Innovation, Business 101. Think about that. Think of all you folks out there that had business for the first time. What was your Business 101 experience? So this is what I get to be a part of this coming Friday. So I'm very excited about that.
That's great. That's going to be fun. Anything else?
Yes. In fact, I will leave you tonight with one of Professor Lanier's classes. They did a very special video for us. So it's very short, but I think it'll be appropriate for this audience. So I'll just go ahead and say thank you, Becky, and thank you all for this week. And we'll let Professor Lanier's class play us out.
Thanks, everyone.
Wow. Bargain means business.